You're listening to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Because you can handle the truth.
The signal you are receiving is coming from deep inside of FEMA Region 1. Well within the battle lines of the municipal corporation known as the Commonwealth of Taxachusetts, radiating out to the darkest corners of Al Gore's internet from our secret broadcast bunker cleverly disguised as a middle-class living room, this is Red Pill Politics.
Patriots and socialist distancers. Welcome back to your weekly dose, Red Pill Politics. I am your opinionated and abrasive host, Dave Kopasher. It's mighty fine to have y'all on board. Happy Saturday to y'all. You all are going to be in for a treat tonight. I've got someone sitting in with us here at the super secret broadcast bunker. My friend Watchman's joined us. And we're going to talk up a few of the constitutional issues out there, see what's on his mind, what he's been seeing, maybe a little forecasting of what this coming political administration or occupation, as I call it, might hold in store. But Watchman, how are you tonight? And thanks for hopping in the seat here with me.
Yeah, I'm doing pretty good, Dave. Pleasure to have you. Well, you have me on the broadcast.
Excellent. Good to have you here. I know, like myself, I always consider myself a student of the Constitution. You know, I talk to people like Edwin Vieira. You and I were talking about him a little bit just before the broadcast here. You know, every time I've spoken to him, I leave our discussion not only educated more, but realizing there's so much I don't know. About the Constitution, the intent of the founders in the development of that document. Intent, as you know, is pretty important stuff, because what we hear from our modern-day politicians are usually grand whims of political agendas. It just tainted. But you know, I refuse, after what I've seen and witnessed, let's start right up front, I guess. Do you consider this Joe Biden thing an administration right now? I'm pretty hardcore. I look at him more as an occupation because of what went down. You can call me a conspiracy theorist if you want, but I think the integrity of our elections is severely impacted, and it just showed here in this last election. But what do you think?
Yeah, I definitely agree with that. It's definitely an occupation, and it was most definitely rigged. But I would go so far to say that, you know, this country's been occupied by traitors for several decades now, not just this administration.
Oh, yeah, I agree with you. We've been polarized through the Republican apparatus and the Democrat apparatus, to where, you know, I'm not a big fan of Glenn Beck, but I remember back to an episode that he had when he had his regular 5 o'clock show that was on, and he talked about the pendulum. I don't know if you recall that, but he talked about a pendulum that would swing from one political side to the other. You know, the Democrats would brutalize the people through their policies and agendas. And the voters, the people would lash out, and the pendulum would swing, and it'd go to Republicans, and they'd say, yeah, we'll get you, and they'll put aside the Constitution to get them, mm-hmm. You know, and, you know, the pendulum swings back and forth, and each time you have an establishment party taking a bite out of the constitutional apple, and we cheer them on to do it. So, you know, I think we've gotten to a point in time where the voters You know, when we point our finger at a corrupt politician, the rest of those fingers are pointing back at us. We got to keep them from advancing. We've got to put integrity back into the election system. That's one thing that is for certain, is I feel that we have, you know, the tool of democracy has endangered our republic. What I saw through my own observations of research we did here in the state, I'm not sure if we didn't even talk about this earlier tonight, but we had a lot of volunteers sending in voter lists from public records requests to town clerks throughout Massachusetts. And we had no problem finding really hokey things. You know, one, we got Ayanna Presley, District 7, I think. You know, she's a Marxist infiltrator in my estimation. Her policies are very much so. She lines up with BLM. She was also out there beating the bushes real hard for 16-year-olds to vote. And then I find a single municipality with 88 people, 16 and under, registered to vote. We've got a problem. But, you know, if you don't see reports about this. If we try to talk about this on most media outlets, you're immediately labeled as a conspiracy theorist, and they just shut you down. They turn you off as a person on a lot of platforms. It's horrible. But, you know, are we beyond that point where we can fix the democratic process, you know, our voting, our elections? Or is the integrity of that so far gone? I like to think we could just bring it right back local again. I've always been a proponent of local control. Could we just simply, in our municipalities, vote to do paper ballots and put a big dent in election rigging? Is that even possible? You think there's political will for that? What do you think?
Well, you know, before I answer that question, I want to bring up just the fact that I think it's funny, they want 16-year-olds to vote, but then they want to raise the age to own a gun to 21.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, just ridiculous. And this might be unpopular, I don't know what you would think about this, Dave, but where is it in our Constitution that voting is even a right? Because our founders didn't think it was so important to put it into the Bill of Rights. So they talk about voting rights is so important that we need 16-year-olds to do it, but forget all the other 10 amendments.
Yeah, right. Well, you know, it's like the difference between immigration and naturalization.
Mm-hmm.
The government runs around touting that they're responsible for immigration, and immigration this, immigration that. And government's only constitutional mandate is to create a uniform and fair form of naturalization. They did that, and I think we're back at, and this is usually, you know, it's very common. It's not the exception. It's kind of the norm, is that we actually got laws on the book that they're selectively enforcing. They've just chosen to ignore that we got laws of naturalization, and we have, in effect, many progressives on both political parties, Democrat and Republican, out there pushing for this open border thing where illegal aliens just flood into this country despite laws that exist to deal with this. We're not saying keep out. We're not being racist. That's the thing, is people that are in favor of secure borders are immediately labeled as being racist and things like that. And it's way deeper than that. Those that really understand know the economic impact that, you know, this great nation that we want people to immigrate to, part of it is due to free market principles and capitalism and a free market economy. Well, when you go beyond what you can sustain, we can't sustain and not collapse our own systems. Healthcare systems, economic systems, food systems, whatever, with an unknown number of people coming in, and we're seeing that the majority are not falling into where we're talking about productive dollars, where people are grabbing jobs and doing things that are real assets to the people in the communities. They're not happening that way. It becomes an insecurity, doesn't it? You know, a national security issue, it really does. But, yeah, they're not following the laws. How many instances could we think of where there's actually laws on the books? They're proposing reform when we don't even know if the old laws work or not. They just chose not to, you know, they've corrupted it some other way, created a bubble some other way. The problem with government in dealing in economic issues is they're supposed to prevent monopolies, and they usually create them. And that's where these bubbles come from, is government intrusion. I don't know. But, you know, we've got to take a look at what's raining down on us, and it is coming from all directions. There's a disruption of the family, trying to destabilize the family. The economic ripples throughout really every industry right now because of these COVID restrictions. And this is global. That's not just the United States. What do you think about that? I pose this question to others, too. What do you really think is behind COVID? Is this just a real natural illness? It seems to be irreparably attached to those that are associated with the Great Reset. There's a reset talk going on in the background, which would be most favorable for them if all of the economies of the world were oppressed and depressed at the same time. What do you think? COVID has got this nation and this world. All nations of the world are affected somehow by this, but what are your thoughts on the impacts of COVID, and what's the difference here in America versus other countries, and, you know, what could and should we do?
Yeah, of course, it's definitely a worldwide problem, and I think the whole COVID agenda, like you said, is a Great Reset, and it definitely has multiple different agendas to it, but it's definitely a global agenda. I mean, you just look at country to country. Why does every single country have the same exact policy for COVID, right? Mm-hmm. You know, every country locked down around the same exact time and roughly, you know, kind of about the same way and the same method to do it. You know, and if this wasn't from, you know, a top-down agenda coming from, you know, World Economic Forum or the World Health Organization, mm-hmm. then you would expect each country to kind of have, you know, a different approach to it as you would normally with anything else, you know? But we just don't see that happening. You know, every country has the same exact approach, you know, and really the only difference between country to country is how their people react to it. And depending on how their people react to it, that's how the government reacts to it,
mm-hmm.
you know, because obviously evil people want to stay in power. And if they piss off their citizens too much, they're not going to stay in power.
Yeah. What was that? Italy? I think it was, some country out there. I'm pretty sure it might've been Italy, where the restaurant said, oh, not doing this no more.
Yeah.
And they just said, okay, yeah, we'll lift the mandates. Charlie Baker did the same thing here. There was a big ass rally that was planned at the State House on a Saturday. He came out a few days ahead of time, said he was going to lift the outdoor mask mandate on Friday. So I've often said this, and our dink of a governor is not the only one. I think you'll find this in other states, too, is that your governors, especially those in the progressive states, are going to try to back out of this with the authority. Okay, we're not having been successfully challenged in court and stripped of these authorities and exceedances and whatnot, is if they can somehow stay half a step ahead and back out. Many of the court cases that are put forward, they're being dismissed because they no longer have standing. So that's a quick way to sandbag what could be successful lawsuits. But, man, they're going to try to get out with the authorities so that the next go-around, they can jump right back in, only now they don't have to blaze a trail. They've already blazed a trail. They got systems in place. You know, Event 201, that we talked about this before. I'm not sure if you're aware of that. It was, they were wargaming out what they would have to do, and by they, I mean governments of the world, the health professionals, the media, the social media, the print, everything. It was information overload of their information.
Yeah, just 3 months before all this happened.
Yes. Now, you know there's both planning before and after that. If they were wargaming that stuff out 3 months before COVID hit, you know, when that whole group said, okay, and break, and they went back to their different organizations and countries, they didn't go back and sit on their hands. They probably had all this stuff already half instituted and, you know, working on the next step, whatever that next step is. So there is, in my estimation, those that have been involved in this, and you mentioned the World Economic Forum, Johns Hopkins University is usually mentioned in there. Of course, the Clinton Foundation, Gates Foundation, they both fund a lot of these efforts. And they've shown their hand in many cases. And we saw it rolled out. What was an event 201, elements of that materialized on social media with such force, too. Think about how quickly, you know, for years, people were playing around on what they thought was this free speech platform and getting hooked on it. Really, I see a lot of similarities between the behavior of people that literally have addict-like addictions to social media and those other addicts that are hooked on meth or crack or whatever. You know, withdrawal was kind of the same, but, you know, we got so hooked on it, and now it changed all, it seems overnight, it really has been evolving, I guess, but with COVID, that gave them all the impetus they need. And, I mean, what do you think is the future of the big social media outlets? To me, I think they're dangerous now.
Yeah, of course. I think it's all technocracy would be the word, I think. Yeah, you know? Yeah. There's a really a merging between the state and these corporations. And with the, you know, great global reset, you know, they're trying to get all the small business and the small guys out of business. And who does that benefit? That's benefiting the Amazons and the Googles and the Facebooks of the world, you know. And it's just like how Nazi Germany was, you know, you had a merger between the state and the corporations with, you know, like Volkswagen was one of them, companies like that. It's the same exact thing, you know. In fact, it's probably going to be a lot worse, you know. These big techs are coming out with all the tracking devices that normally, you know, like in Nazi Germany, the Gestapo would have had, but now that's all the big tech. And the government can just put their hands up and be like, well, we're not breaking any laws because that's a private corporation, yeah. You know. I mean, they're geniuses in a way, you know.
Yeah, it was hard enough to get things like the Patriot Act and NDAA passed, but they did. And now it's there, and they've granted themselves enormous permission to be able to look into our private lives, unmask Americans. As it is, every bit of digital data, I think, is preserved for a certain number of days. And if you're a person even just suspected now, you don't even have to be a tangible threat, just suspected by someone somewhere, they can unmask you, take a look at all your private communications. And when that was passed at that time, most people were thinking about their flip phones and things like that that they had in their hands, and, you know, tracking of email. That was about all they were worried about, or not worried about, but that's what they were considering. Now, 5G, the Internet of Things, absolutely every piece of electronics, you know, all this stuff in front of you right now, this microphone, that switchboard, your dryer, your toaster oven, anything like that has an IP address attached to it and communicates when the moment you plug it into the wall.
Yeah.
So there's nothing that we own that can't positively identify and track us everywhere we go, the amount we use, what we use it for, and what a vulnerable position that is to be in, because we can be turned off as people. Oh, man, we'll be right back after the break. This is Red Pill Politics, and you are listening to the Republic Broadcasting Network.
time I saw you, you had tears in your eyes. You lonely man that kept telling you lies. It was hard to do, but it came down to you.
Folks, we're living in a world the likes of which we've never perceived any clearer than we do now. The plan for global governance has been in the works for generations and would have likely been achieved by now but for the fact that the globalists left open their Achilles heel. With all their tools, Federal Reserve System, fiat currency, No Child Left Behind, and then Common Core education introduced to our schools to dumb us down, vaccines, pharmaceuticals to lobotomize us, GMO foods, insertion of compromised or bought and paid for politicians, judges, mainstream media propaganda, all pieced together like a puzzle designed to ultimately bring the world under submission. But with all their strategy, they forgot one thing: knowledge. And knowledge is power. With knowledge, their bombardment is nullified. Folks, with that, as brilliant and knowledgeable as you've become, among the wisest audience of any radio audience in the world, and you are, I want you to take a moment to reflect and ask yourself, how much of that knowledge did I obtain from Republic Broadcasting Network? How high has my consciousness been raised since I've been a listener? How fast am I now able to discriminate truth from fake news by being a Republic Broadcasting listener? How clear am I now able to see the world since I've been listening to RBN? Ask yourselves those questions, folks. Then ask yourself, what is that knowledge worth to me? Like my morning coffee, how would I survive without it? A voice of truth in a sea of lies. Do we not all need to make sure it survives? Like public broadcasting, we are now finding we can only survive with listener support. Censorship, advertisers being attacked, truth itself being attacked. It's the only way through this. We at Republic Broadcasting humbly ask you to become a supporter. Look at your budget and make a determination of what Republic Broadcasting is worth to you and what you can afford on a monthly basis. Go to republicbroadcasting.org and pledge 20, 30, 40, 50, if possible, 100 a month or more if it's affordable. Click the donate button and become a regular monthly donor. Assure both us and yourself that Republic Broadcasting truth will continue to flow like that morning coffee. The network thanks you.
Have you been looking for a trusted long-term storable food company? We have a solution for you. Simply Clean Foods is dedicated to providing the best quality food you can buy next to fresh from a farmer's market. Our line of resealable fruits, vegetables, and meats are suitable for everyday use, and you won't have to worry about throwing away valuable groceries ever again. Our food is completely GMO-free, and our stringent quality controls, plus testing for heavy metals, makes us unique in the storable foods market. Simply Clean Foods' primary focus is to bring clean food to people all around the world and change the way we look at freeze-dried food in our daily cooking. When you purchase from simplycleanfoods.net, not only will you be receiving high-quality food, but you will also be supporting veterans in need across the country and those who are affected by natural disasters. Right now, Amazon Prime members will receive fast 2-day shipping. Go to simplycleanfoods.net. That's simplycleanfoods.net. But do it today.
Inside me, son of a god, I'm like a titan that's rising. What? On just you watch, I'm stepping into fate. There is no time to waste. I've got that lightning inside me. This is how legends are made.
Talk about, but there will be no filters involved. That much I can tell you. So, we were talking about a few different things, but I think we left off talking about the Internet of Things and how there's almost nothing now. Catherine Albrecht has been mentioned a couple times already. She came out years ago as part of her master's thesis talking about the dot on the I on the tag of your shirt. It could be an RFID that reports back through any sensor. It could be in a Walmart store as you're leaving, or it could be in a mile marker on the side of the highway. has just indicated that this shirt purchased by you with your credit card, you know, and after all the cross-referencing of things and tracking you, you know, there's no place that we can go right now where true privacy exists. And doesn't that mean that we can just be shut off if we don't comply, if we allow our, you know, we've accepted the dollar and as these Federal Reserve notes is a valid way of doing business, then we've allowed ourselves to just about become a cashless society where we all got a debit card with a chip in that. You know, they can pretty much just shut us off now, right? If they, we can't access our money, we can't pay our electric bill, our cable, can't buy food. You can't buy food if you're not wearing a mask or vaccinated. Where is it going to end?
Yeah, you know, folks, if you're worried about getting censored from Facebook or YouTube or Twitter or whatever, I mean, it can get a lot worse than that. They can just shut down your phone. Your carrier can just shut off your phone, and then what will you do then, you know? So people should really start to think about that and just get off these platforms, you know, just start relying on what people have relied on for thousands of years, you know, gold and silver, you know, growing your own food. That's what it's going to come down to.
You know, my grandfather used to say the most rebellious thing you could do is feed yourself.
Yeah.
You know, talking about government, he's very much a small government guy. Most of my family, oddly enough, it's kind of 50-50 split of Republicans and Democrats. My grandmother was a Democrat. My grandfather was a Republican. And, you know, they had civil discussions. They found a way to, you know, they really wanted for the same thing. They cared for the same people. They just had a slightly different approach, a civil approach nonetheless, not the polarized nonsense we have nowadays.
You know, Democrats were a lot different back then. You know, look at JFK. He was anti-abortion and pro-Second Amendment. You know, JFK even said that we need a nation of Minutemen, you know.
Yeah, my grandmother the same way. Oh, she used to tell me that when I go out and I was old enough to go hunting on my own, she was a nervous Nelly about it. But at the same time, my grandmother could load and clean a gun. She could shoot the darn thing. I remember my grandfather taking us all out. It was a kind of a Sunday tradition to go on a, you know, a walk in one of the logging roads around the place. And sometimes we'd take the .22 and go plinking. And my grandmother, as much as she was constantly on me about gun safety and gun rules and all that stuff, she knew how to shoot that thing pretty darn good. A whole different type of Democrat nowadays, especially those ones that call themselves progressives aren't really Democrats, though. But yeah, there's a tension you can cut with a knife. I was out at events as recently as earlier today. But, you know, everywhere I go now, what dominates almost all of the events, they're not just feel-good things like, hey, it's my kid's sweet 16 party, or, oh, we're having a family reunion, or there's almost no positive activity that's falling on my radar. It is all cries for help, cries for freedom, trying to shake off this big government monkey on our back with COVID right now. It is a wet blanket. It's all over everything. The people don't know how to react. They want out of it, but they're not quite sure what to do. But I don't know. What they can't do is just sit there any longer and allow what's left of their business community to wilt. The recovery from this, you know, there's always lags. You know, a lag period between when something significant happens and the full impacts are felt. And I don't think we've even felt the beginning yet. We'll be right back after our first half hour break. It's Red Pill Politics, republicbroadcasting.org.
Last time I saw you, you had tears in your eyes. You loved a man that kept telling you lies. It was hard to do, but
came down to you.
You are tuned in to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Visit our website by going to republicbroadcasting.org.
Homeowners, are you in foreclosure, expecting to be served with a foreclosure lawsuit, or suspect your lender has coerced you into an illegal mortgage transaction? A huge number of mortgages made in the last 10 years have legal issues and are possibly defective. State laws and the U.S. Supreme Court have upheld that defective mortgage documents are grounds for foreclosure defense and for counterclaims in favor of the homeowner. If your mortgage has been sold or assigned since closing the loan, it may be defective and you may be paying the wrong party, and the lender may not have standing or the right to foreclose or collect payments under the law. If you would like to know if your mortgage is legal or not, or know if you are paying the right party, we can help. Our initial consultations are free of charge. We are not attorneys. We are legal researchers and work closely with experienced lawyers who know how to help you find the evidence to help you keep your home. Call toll free 1-855-2-KEEP-IT. That's 1-855-2-KEEP-IT today.
It's happening, ladies and gentlemen. We here at RBN are working with Front Sight Firearms Training Institute to bring our audience the best in combat, tactical, and defensive firearms training. Whether you're a private citizen who is new to firearms, or you have a concealed weapon permit, and want a level of training that surpasses what you've received from your local gun range, Front Sight provides priceless education and skills taught by seasoned law enforcement, military, and private citizen instructors to levels that far exceed law enforcement and military standard. With nearly a million responsible citizens trained from every town, city, and state from across the United States, Front Sight has bolstered the Patriot movement to a whole new level. Contact Dan Sutterfield by phone at 573-762-2356 or 573-465-2356, or shoot him an email at domedan, D-O-M-E-D-A-N, at hotmail.com. This is a limited time opportunity. Don't miss it.
Hey there, are you gonna wait till the cows come home to get your new Ease-Off drop and lift?
What in the world is an Ease-Off drop and lift?
Our Ease-Off is a new tool to increase production for your meat processing company that will get that whole hog or half a beef on or off your rail with our remote control.
That sounds great, but can I afford it?
Sure, and the Ease-Off installs fast. The effortless operation will reduce fatigue, speed up your line, and increase profits.
Okay, I'm convinced. Where can I get my Ease-Off?
Go to easeoff.com. That's EAZEOFF.com. And hurry, because we're offering free shipping for a limited time. Easeoff.com. We make pigs fly. Cows, too.
Ease-Off LLC, 417-932-6419.
Saturday, all y'all. Hope you're having a good weekend so far. Here in the Northeast, been absolutely beautiful. Absolutely beautiful. Nice sunny day today. Some white fluffy clouds. Not a chemtrail in sight. It was pretty awesome. So, we were talking about tension. I perceive a tension in the air in every event that we go to. All the events seem to have gone completely to that of urgency. I just see a lack of just feel good types of goings on out there. There's no more gatherings. People aren't having, I know a lot of the clubs and things that I like to do in the summer were advertising, you know, chicken barbecues, steak barbecues, jamborees, things like that. There's like a void of that right now. Everything is in panic mode and about either fighting for social justice on one side, defunding the police, racial justice, or freedom and liberty. People are waking up to the Constitution as being pretty much trashed and pushed aside, and that's all I see. I mean, do you see anything in between? Do you see anything that resembles a normal atmosphere anymore?
No, I don't think it's been normal ever since before COVID, honestly. But yeah, I mean, you're absolutely right. I mean, it's just in between families, you know, families are divided, you know, people can't even go to holidays or social gatherings if their family is actually having one. But if they are, then, you know, it's going to end up in a fight or politics, or we just can't talk about politics. And, you know, it's just getting crazy, and it's all going to come to a head, folks, here, you know. I mean, this is exactly how, you know, like, you see what's going on in Israel right now, you know. Whether you're on one side or the other, it doesn't matter. But that situation's been boiling for decades, you know, for years and years and years. And now you just see everybody just go crazy, rioting on the streets, shooting missiles at each other and all this stuff, you know. And we're living in the same situation here, you know. We have different cultural outlooks in our country, you know, different politics. You know, even you have a religious divide between the secular and the non-secular, just like in Israel, there's a religious divide, and, you know, it's all going to come to a head, you know. It came close last summer with, you know, all sorts of crazy rioters on the street and, you know, other people on the other side trying to defend local businesses, you know, and then one side would say, oh, you're just here to go against us. Well, no, we're here to stop the, you know, protect the businesses, but it's all going to come to a head. You know, and this is one of the most heavily armed countries on the face of the earth in the history of the world. And when it comes to a head, it will not be good.
Yeah, I don't. If there was a gun problem, you would know. But there's not a gun problem. And I'm a firm believer in the Second Amendment. And I think what would make society even more polite is that if everyone who was, not a violent felon, if a jury of your peers has determined that, you know, you can't and shouldn't own a firearm because of your propensity for violence, and in particular with a firearm, you know, other than that, every able-bodied person should be able to freely just go and buy a firearm like they're buying a pair of boots. Because, I mean, that would put an end to mass murders pretty much overnight. Yeah, there's always going to be crazy people. But you're not going to be hearing tallies of, you know, 30, 40, 50 people being shot and or killed. You know, a couple of people are going to get hurt, no doubt. But you walk into a school where half of your teachers are armed, trained, know how to use their sidearm, you're not going to see big mass shootings in school. They're not going to target schools no more. They're going to say, we're going to get shot and killed dead. Yeah, so, yeah, we advertise potential crime scenes with these no-gun zones.
Well, and, you know, even I would even challenge the whole felon aspect, because if you go to jail and you do your time and they say that you are safe to go back to society, then why shouldn't you have all the rights of another citizen, you know, when you got out? You know, that's how it used to be for a long time. And nowadays, you know, you can get, you know, a felony for just about anything nowadays. And so if you're not safe enough to be let back in society with your full rights, then you shouldn't be let back out, you know?
Yeah, I mean, I guess where I would would engage in debate here is whether or not, you can be a felon by a lot of different means. It could be white-collar crime had absolutely nothing to do with violence or a firearm. And in those cases, people are losing their firearms right now because they lost their driver's license, because they didn't pay alimony, because of, there's all kinds of things that they'll take, you know, like driver's licenses have become a lot like that for whatever reason. They go after people and say, well, if you don't pay this extortion fee or that or child support and alimony, they take your license and your ability to be mobile and actually earn money. But they go after your license for your gun for all sorts of things that are unrelated. In Massachusetts, boy, what a petri dish for that gun grabbing socialist nonsense. We got it bad here. We really do. New York's got some issues. You know, around the country, we're kind of the laughing stock when it comes to gun rights. But, hey, you know, there's a lot of people that are pushing back, and many of them are women. I'm always touting the mama bears when I can. And in this case, one of the biggest increases in, you know, people going for their LTCs, there's a notable increase in the number of females that are doing it.
Well, of course, a firearm is the best equalizer if you have a physical disadvantage. And that's, you know, whatever you think about gender studies or whatever, you know, females have a physical disadvantage, and the best way to equalize that is a firearm. And when these politicians, these gun grabbers, want to take away firearms, you know, they're actually going against the empowerment of females.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. They use a lot of fear and window dressing to make it sound like they are actually going to be able to prevent bad things from happening by taking away all guns, you know, just outlawing them. But we know murder's been against the law for a very, very long time. Okay, that people, bad people will do bad things. And you make a very good point. In this case, it's very specifically going to have the greatest impact on women. All right, I went to UMass Amherst, and they got a section there that became famous. They called it Rape Lane, I think it was. And it was just a dark little footpath that the kids kind of developed over years, a little shortcut back to the dorms. Well, bad things happen to women heading along that path. And, you know, if you didn't have a campus that was there just aggressively going after gun ownership and those types of progressive ideals, you wouldn't have that situation. You know, an armed society is a polite society. But it puts them, you're right, it puts them specifically in the most danger. But anybody, whether it's an individual, able-bodied individual, faced by a mob, is still a little bit of an equalizer. With the riots in California, about the only business that didn't get burnt to the ground during those riots was an American that sat on his roof with an AR-15, either an AR or an AK, I can't remember. But when the looters came running into his neighborhood and heading towards his building, he was capping a few off and zinging them off the street. And because of that, because of gun ownership, and I think it was the CDC even announced that there are more lives saved, not even by shooting anybody, but sometimes just being a victim and put into a position where you had to draw your weapon was enough to potentially save a life. You know, the statistics are completely baked when it comes to the gun grabbers, what they put out there. In some cases, just flat out lies. Of course, when you find out, you know, weeks or months later that that was not true, damage is done. Things get passed for false reasons. But we're looking at a whole new Orwellian round of gun bills, not just here in Massachusetts, but nationwide, is the Bidenistas. Oh, man, they got a bloodthirst. They do not want us owning guns, and they're going to find every choke point they can, whether it's ammunition. You know, they're all hot to trot on these ghost guns right now, so people that actually have some talent and can make and manufacture and do their own thing. They're going after everybody. They truly want us defenseless. And they forget, we were talking about the Constitution before. We're supposed to keep them in exact subordination to the civilian authority. And we really don't have a civilian authority anymore, do we?
No.
Well, the Second Amendment, and that's the only place the word necessary was ever used in the Constitution was the Second Amendment. And what it said was necessary wasn't guns, it was the militia.
Exactly, a well-regulated militia being necessary for the security of a free state, the right of the people to keep and bear arms shall not be infringed. And these people want to say, well, the militia is the police, or the militia is the National Guard. Well, no, it's not. Just look at the Second Amendment itself. A well-regulated militia, who is the militia? The right of the people to keep and bear arms. So it gives you the definition right there in the Second Amendment. You don't need to go anywhere else. The Second Amendment, the right of the people, a well-regulated militia. Oh, well, it says well-regulated. Okay, so the government can impose regulations upon it. Well, no, you have to look at the original intent and what well-regulated meant to the people living during that time. And well-regulated just means able to function, right? You know, that it can be called forth in an orderly, you know, organized fashion. That's what well-regulated means, a well-functioning force.
And it was more closely attached to the government's responsibility to provide them with the hardware and things that they needed for them to fulfill their training obligations.
Of course.
So the relationship is exactly opposite of what is portrayed now. You say the word militia, and people automatically think of radicalism, when they should be really just thinking more close to home, and in particular themselves. It's not a matter of if a militia is even allowed anymore. It obviously is. It's necessary. It's a matter of whether we're delinquent in our trainings or not. So it's every able-bodied man. And I was talking with you earlier. I had pressed Edwin Vieira. We had him on the show at one time not too long ago. And in one of my discussions with him, I pressed him, paint a picture for me, an image of what a modern-day militia would look and feel like. And he says it is, you know, we the people. Every job, every profession you could imagine, you know, they are, you know, doing their daily thing, their daily life like they normally would do, but in their commitment to the militia, their part, they're the eyes and ears of we the people everywhere they are all the time, first and foremost. But if you think about it, these are also the staffers for your senators and representatives and all the people that are around them. They're actually technically part of the militia. If something goes awry, you know, back in the day, the original colonies, as they knew that they were going to need to organize and communicate, created the committees of correspondence, you know, and this is, you know, kind of plays into that history of things then. But, yeah, I don't know what to think as far as how the American people are going to react right now in the here and now. I'm not sure that they got the gusto to come together, let alone in a defensive type of situation like this. And there is a kind of a militarized component to it. Is it among the things that you're supposed to be other than the eyes and ears? Is it if you ever are faced with a threat, foreign or domestic, as I understand, you're to be ready. You don't just show up in the street or in a town hall cold and all pissed off and saying, yeah, rebel rousing, now what do we do? You're already trained and pretty much know what to do, mm-hmm. Who is who your command structure is, what your assets are, and we're not like that. It's hard to...
No, you're exactly right. You know, people don't have the gusto to do anything. You know, just look at all these people. How many people actually don't agree with mask mandates, but yet they walk around and wear a mask? And why do they do it? Just to avoid the hassle, right? Mm. Just to avoid hassle, because hassle is, you know, being not hassled is worth more than your freedom, right? Well, the last line of the Declaration of Independence says that we mutually pledge to each other's our lives, our fortunes, and our sacred honor. You know, and if you can't go without hassle when you're in the grocery store, what makes you think that you're going to give up your life, your fortune, or your sacred honor? You're probably not going to. And exactly what Dave was just saying, you know, when it happens, you need to be ready when it happens. Not, oh, well, they're riding down my street, and when my back's against the wall, then I'll do something. Mm. No, you need to do something now. You need to unite with your neighbor now, because victory loves the prepared. And if you're prepared, we will be able to defeat these tyrants. But you have to grow a pair, and that starts with the mask mandate. That starts with the vaccine, and then it goes further than that. Anytime these tyrants get out of line, you need to show them who's the boss. And who's the boss? We the people.
Yeah, no doubt. And, you know, civil disobedience has always played a role in any profound reform of government. And that's key, is that the people do have to come together. And this notion of a militia, I'd like to see the day come again where that can be just openly discussed, where people can come together and prepare to that level. It's not necessarily a bad thing. It was put forward as a, man, it, I think it was number two in the Constitution for a reason. We'll talk about that right after the break. We'll see you right on the other side of Red Pill Politics, the Republic Broadcasting.org.
Son of a god, I'm like a titan that's rising on just your watch. I'm stepping into fate, there is no time to waste. I've got that lightning inside me. This is...
Hey honey, I'm home. I grabbed the newspaper on the way home. Look at all the news today.
The newspaper? Don't you know that all you're going to get in the newspaper is propaganda, twisted news, and false information?
Honey, this is a national newspaper. It has to be true.
Ha! For some reason, a majority of the population believe anything the mainstream media tells them. The newspaper does not give out the important attention on what's happening to this country and news that affects our daily lives. Say, does that newspaper mention anything about the North American Union?
No, not that I can see.
I didn't think so. You need to go to www.newswithviews.com, where truth is more important than political correctness. That's www.newswithviews.com. Hey, don't throw that away. We can use that in the birdcage.
Okay, move over. Let me start reading newswithviews.com.
The truth? Read all about it at newswithviews.com. Newswithviews.com, where reality shatters illusion.
Extendivite 7-herb formulation is approved to help maintain cardiovascular health and help lower blood lipid levels in adults. Extendivite is made from hawthorn, garlic, valerian, cayenne, bilberry, ginkgo biloba, and milk thistle. The herbs in Extendivite have been chosen for their ability to help with overall health. Many people have reported improved energy and stamina in just a few months. If you think you could feel just a little bit better, then Extendivite may just be for you. Extendivite is an all-natural supplement. Extendivite is only $69.95 for a 2-month supply. To order, call 1-877-928-8822 or visit heartdrop.com. That's HEARTDROP.com.
Extend your life with Extendovite.
Hello, I'm Dr. Leonard Horowitz. I was right 30 years ago in warning the world about threatening lab virus outbreaks, AIDS, and Ebola. I was right 20 years ago when FBI Director Robert Mueller made me a suspect in the anthrax mailings because I warned the Bureau before the CIA's biocrime and Cipro sales psyops happened. I was right about COVID-19 being an AIDS-laced mutagen plan to resurge this fall to excuse officials' profitable depopulation globalization agendas. And I was right about the only safeguards being antioxidants and holy spiritual sustenance. Vitamin C, D, zinc, chlorophyll, oxygen, and oxysilver especially transmits the frequency resonance to neutralize the expanded function bioweapon. Oxysilver is a double superconductor of the healing power of love. It is the first nutraceutical invented to amplify prayer power and the faithful, loving intention of your heart. Buy, try, and stockpile oxysilver through HealthyWorldStore.com.
We'll be right back.
Two shadow hands run democracy.
Two shadow hands.
The edges speak of a lie.
I'm beginning to think so. Those shadowed hands. The Council on Foreign Relations. Well, entities like that. It's part of the Soviet. They're the top of the stink pile. The Soviet runs deep right into your towns, right into your towns. And they don't want things like militias because that's a whole a grassroots layer of organization that not only has constitutional foundation, but when you look at security, just security in general, very generically, the best security of any kind is local security. Well, there's local security in your food supply. All right, we shouldn't be comfortable in the fact that most of America's food is imported. All right, like your drug supply, we found out through the COVID-1984 that 99% of our antibiotics are made in China. Wouldn't that be a more secure feeling if 99% of them were made right here? So local security. The militia goes right at the heart of that, is it brings it right into your communities for local control. And it's, again, not a bad thing. It's good that they're training together, but to have so many eyes and ears out there, if it were working properly, as Edwin Vieira described it to me, if it was healthy and functional and working properly, things like bubbles and deep corruption just wouldn't exist. As soon as someone went astray, a staffer or somebody, a clerk somewhere, is going to go, wait a minute, you can't do that. And that becomes part of the topic of agendas when these militia groups meet, when they're equivalent to the committees of correspondence, correspond with each other saying, we've got a problem in this town. They're stepping on rights here. This is inappropriate. We've got a problem with the election, whatever it is. The militia is always there, always working. And when they've got, when they recognize something, it's like corruption. I've always said, well, you know, and you were dancing around it a little bit earlier before the break. You know, we were supposed to pledge our lives, our sacred honors, and all of that. But, you know, we were supposed to be constantly vigilant. We were warned that we got where we were as we were trying to separate ourselves from tyranny, that we were tolerating the tyrannies while they were tolerable. We accepted little tyrannies, and then when they became commonplace, a little bit greater tyranny came along, and here we are.
Yeah, and you know, we've gone so far astray. It looks nothing to how the founders envisioned this country to be. And I'd go so far to say that this is not a system of law and order. This is a system of whoever has the biggest stick wins. Just like Mao Zedong said, you know, political power will grow out of the barrel of a gun. And so if you want power, if you want your rights to be respected, you know, like Patrick Henry said, our founder's words are so applicable to today. You know, Patrick Henry said in his famous speech, give me liberty or give me death, we've petitioned the courts, we've pled our case to the king. You know, we've tried every avenue possible, but it hasn't worked, you know?
Yep. Oh, that's not the end of America or freedom. We're in the fight for the long haul. We're going to be taking calls after our break at the top of the hour. So this is Red Pill Politics. The RepublicBroadcasting.org is the website. We'll see you right after the break.
Ladies and gentlemen, J.R. Moore here. We have a special promotion going on at Republic Broadcasting. This is a fundraiser for Republic Broadcasting involving the Energy Planner. Mail me a postcard. My address is at my website at thelibertyman.com. We pick a postcard every other Thursday. When your postcard is drawn out, you get to buy an Energy Planner for $215 instead of $285, $70 discount. $200 goes to Republic Broadcasting. You also get a 10% discount on my mattress pads. So get those postcards in, put your name, your telephone number, your email address on there, And when your postcard is drawn, you get to get an energy cleaner for $215 instead of $285. Mattress pads, 10% off. Help us out at Republic Broadcasting and help yourself to get an energy cleaner at a deep discount. It's a win-win situation for everybody. We hope you can get these postcards in soon. Thank you very much.